This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 155 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you so much for being here. I very much appreciate it. Believe me, I do. I understand that, you know, every week I get the opportunity to be inserted into your eardrums, and I do not take that for granted. Trust me. So thank you very, very much for being a listener of the show. It means a lot to me. Today, I've got a great show lined up. Jim Cockerell is in the house to talk all about becoming an author for the first time and just why we should actually even consider writing a book in the first place. For me, I think it's an absolute mainstay of the part of anybody's personal brand. And myself and Jim have a good old chin wag in regards to the pros and the cons and all that sort of stuff. It's a really good conversation, actually, particularly for people that might be considering writing their first book. So a great show planned if that's where you are right now for you. Before we get into that conversation, however, quick reminder that our brand new Youpreneur Launchpad training is now available. It's 100% free. All you've got to do is pop over to chrisducker.com/launchpad, and you'll be greeted with a plethora of videos and audio downloads, PDF downloads that you can print and make notes on, and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. Honestly, I kind of feel like this is like the best free online business training I've ever put together. So I'd love for you to go ahead and check it out, chrisducker.com/launchpad, and send me a tweet. Let me know what you think. So onto my chat with Jim. This guy is a legend in the self-publishing world. He has published tons of books, and he has helped hundreds of other authors do exactly the same thing as well. I wanted to get Jim onto the call to talk about what it really means to be an author, what we can expect from becoming an author for the first time, and more importantly, how we can actually do it. It's a great conversation. I know you're going to enjoy it. Here is myself and Jim chatting up a good old storm. Enjoy. So, Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
I've been wanting to get you on for a while, and we were talking before we hit the record button that, you know, I've covered the subject of book marketing on the show a couple of times in the past. We've had our mutual friend Jay Beer on the show once before talking about how he got Youpreneur Utility. We've had many a joke, Jay and I, about that, I could tell you. But, I mean, I wanted to touch base on this again because I feel like there's so much more out there. There's so many different tactics. There's so many different things that particularly first-time authors are still struggling with. And when I saw you pop up on Twitter last week, I was like, oh, man, I got to snag him. I got to get him on right now. So I'm really looking forward to this. I truly am.
I'm glad to be here and talk about it because, you know, the whole book marketing thing is really a difficult subject for a lot of people.
It is. It's something that a lot of people struggle at. And I think that, you know, when we've got somebody like yourself who's had so many different books and helped hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people, not only with their marketing, but also everything from cover design to, you know, the whole publishing, you know, malarkey, the whole kit and caboodle, really. There's very few people that have got as much experience under their belt as you do when it comes to this stuff. And what I really like is that you've really kind of zoomed in on helping people launch books to boost their brands. And, you know, the audience of Youpreneur FM are brand building business owners. So it's a perfect romantic comedy ready and waiting to happen. So let me ask you this. Let's kick off with this, Jim. Why write a book in the first place? Why do it?
Well, a lot of people like to call it a credibility book, and I would agree with that. So, you know, if you want to be known as the expert on something, you know, having a book is 1,000 times better, 1,000,000 times better than having a business card that says so, or even a website or a blog. I mean, anyone can get one of those things, right?
Right.
What separates you from the person who you're both applying for a job, and you walk in, and you walk in instead of just a resume, you walk in with a resume and a book on the subject of which the job is you're trying to get. Now, which one of those things do you think gets you higher on the resume pile, the book or just the flat out resume? And that's a facetious question, of course.
Right. Right. And
you walk into that person's office and you hand them a copy of a book, or you even give them, show them a digital copy of the book. And you're saying to a person, look, I've taken the time and the effort to put this into book form and do something different than everyone else has done. I am an expert. I have the credibility in this area in order for you to hire me. And this can go from you trying to get a job, from you trying to get more clients, to becoming a speaker, to whatever. There's something about having a book, whether it's physical or digital, that builds credibility in other human beings' minds.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. And I mean, I've spoken with many people who have been, say, for example, public speakers for quite some time. They've never gotten around to writing a book. They write a book and boom, all of a sudden, tons of extra gigs come their way. They end up charging a lot more money than they used to for keynotes and all the rest of it. So it is. Credibility is a very key focus there. I mean, can you remember the first time you sat down and wrote your first book?
I can. Well, I'm a little bit different. So I've had a traditionally published book and I self-published. Now, I traditionally published in 2010 with Wiley & Sons for my book Attention. And the reason I self-published is because I traditionally published.
This is so good because it's a nice segue. I'm going to go down this road in a minute, but go on, carry on.
Well, you know, I remember writing that first traditionally published book and I was so full of excitement. And wow, this is going to be great. And it was great in the fact that, you know, you had a hardcover book and all that stuff. But, you know, where we're leading with this question is, you know, what happened after that? And I won't spoil the surprise. But absolutely, having the book that you could say was traditionally published did help with things like speaking gigs and consulting contracts and drawing customers to my consulting business and things like that. I will tell you this, though. There have been many studies done. The reports have shown that in today's day and age, and this has been 6 years since then, today's day and age, nobody except an event planner or a potential boss cares that your book was published by a traditional publisher anymore. It's like number 40 on a list of 100 reasons why people would buy a book. So if you're going to pursue a speaking career and want to generate consulting clients and things like that, having a traditionally published book still makes a lot of sense. But in another avenue, I still I don't believe that it really matters down the road.
Yeah, I mean, when the offer for Virtual Freedom came my way, I initially turned it down. We're going back 2012 now. So I initially turned it down and then I got another offer in 2013 and I kind of just started thinking about the idea of writing a book. And you know, the question was very clearly at the forefront of my mind. Do I want to, you know, get it out there and ultimately try and find a traditional deal? Or do I self-publish? Probably get it out there a hell of a lot faster, have a lot more control over it. Because you and I both know the author will sell 99.9% of the copies of their own book. It just is what it is. And so, you know, I had to give it some really solid thought. And I guess it was probably just something that I wanted to tick off the bucket list. And, you know, we ended up putting the proposal together and getting it out there. And we got four different offers actually off of one proposal to, 16 publishers, I think. So we were very happy with it. But you're absolutely right. You know, there are major differences between the two. And obviously, since then, you've been doing nothing but self-publishing. Am I right?
I have. And I interview a lot of people who use books for their business, you know, to build a business. And it goes both ways. You know, you get half the people, well, like Jay Bayer, for example. Jay is perfectly fine with going with a publisher because he likes what the publisher brings to the table for him. His career is mostly speaking.
Yeah.
So having traditionally published books makes a lot of sense for him. I still think, you know, but then I talk to other people who say, look, I used to traditionally publish and now I self-publish because I like the more control of it. It really depends on what you want, right? Do you want more control over the cover and the things like that, or and on the other hand, all the work that comes with it of doing all the things on your own.
Sure.
So it really comes down to what you want. Really, I know some people that traditionally published who will never do it again. I know some people that have self-published who said, boy, I wish the headaches, I didn't have to deal with this stuff. I'd rather go back to traditional publishing. The reality of the situation is this, is that getting a traditionally published contract in today's world is harder than ever because the bookstore model, the legacy model of traditional publishers is failing because bookstores are not sustainable because it's hard to keep stocks of tons and tons of books because, you know, look, not a lot of books sell. Let's be honest, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I think the best example is to look at an airport bookstore. We've all been in an airport. The airport bookstore is the epitome of what a good bookstore is in today's world. And in terms, I mean, a good business model, because they only stock the books that are either selling really well or have been, or they've been paid to put in there, right? It's like a grocery store, right? The grocery store is only going to stock the things that people are buying a lot of, or the manufacturers of those food products paid to have on the shelves.
Now, what does it cost? I mean, do you know, do you have an inside scoop on this? What does it cost to, say, have your book front and centered for, say, a week at LAX? Do you know roughly what that would set a publisher back?
I don't have an exact cost on that, but I've been told that you're not getting even a conversation with any type of airport bookstore for less than, you know, $150,000.
Wow. So it's a lot of cash, to outlive for any publisher. Yeah,
but I think they're pretty much the only bookstore in the world that really has the model figured out in terms of a business sense. They stock things that sell, and the rest of them are things that people pay to have there.
It's not a bad business model. You know what I mean?
And the regular bookstores, you know, let's talk about it like a regular Barnes & Noble store, a big box store, Barnes & Noble. If you go into any of those now, you'll see, you know, tons and tons of books. Well, it's just not sustainable because not a lot of books sell. Right. So they sit on the shelves and they have to get returned. So the buyers at these Barnes and Noble places, you know, if you're a new author, they're not buying your book. I found this out the hard way. Right. Just because I was a new author didn't mean they were stocking my book in every one of their bookstores.
Right.
What I found out is they put one in every other fifth Barnes and Noble store across the country.
Right.
And then I said, well, OK, well, if my book starts selling really well and it starts getting a ton of requests, I'm assuming that Barnes & Noble will order more. And they're like, well, not necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Depends on what day of the week it is. Right.
I guess the dream of seeing your book in a bookstore can still be done. But, you know, the idea that you're – the romantic dream that you're going to walk into a bookstore and see your book in there and it's going to be on the front shelf and all that stuff is something that I think a lot of people need to get away from because it's stopping you from realizing that you could have a lot of success doing it another way.
You could, absolutely. So let's talk about it the other way then. Let's talk about the self-publishing model. And I think the majority of the people tuning into this show would be looking to go down that route as they you know, continue to build out their brands and their resumes and all the rest of it. So, I mean, how do we start? And I don't want to get too hardcore into the self-publishing kind of nuts and bolts, because I really do want to focus on the marketing angle here. But for somebody who's never self-published before, have you got sort of a handful of quick tips that you can give them to make sure that they sort of maybe don't trip themselves up too quickly earlier on in the process?
Well, the first thing that you have to do is realize why you're writing the book. I'm assuming that we're talking about nonfiction here, right?
Yes. Let's go with business. Okay. Yeah.
Let's go with business. Nonfiction. You're writing a book that solves the biggest problems of your customers, right? Let me give you a quick example. I had a guy who came up to me and said, Jim, I'm starting a business that sells social media services to real estate agents. And I said, well, have you written a book yet? And he said, no. And he goes, I haven't thought about it. He goes, well, what should I call it? I go, here's a tip. Call it social media for real estate agents. And that's the title of the book. And so I guess the best tip here is write a book that solves the biggest problems for your target audience. And then put that book out there in a self-published way. Get a nice cover done. You don't want to skimp on getting a cover done. You don't want to get a $5 cover done. You can get a nice cover done for a fiction or a nonfiction book for under $250. The biggest thing you don't want to skimp on is the editing. Editing is extremely important. You want to get rid of your typos. You want to get rid of inconsistencies.
Sure.
You want to spend some money and get the editing right. And then it's just a matter of, you know, simple things like uploading it to Amazon. Anyone can do it. It's not that hard. There are tools out there like Draft to Digital, which will allow you to upload to Barnes & Noble and Kobo and iTunes and all those places, and they'll take a small cut. So it's very easy to do. The expenses aren't that high, and the control that you get from having your own self-published book is much better, in my opinion.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact, obviously, that when you self-publish, the moment the book is done, you can basically go to market with it. Whereas with a traditional book, there's usually, even after you've submitted the manuscript and you've gone through the editing process and the final line edits and all the rest of it, once you've done that, there's still a certain period of time before the book will come out, sometimes as much as a year, I've been told by some people. Am I right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a big deal. You know, now
it nowadays, is.
You want to get that book out there quickly. You want to start using it as a lead magnet. You know, Nick Stevenson's got a great program where he talks about lead magnets and how you use your books to generate leads for you. Now, I did this in 2010 with Attention, and I put a lead magnet in the back of my book that said, hey, would you like a consultation for free for 15 minutes? I've literally done thousands of these consultations, and they're leads. They turn into business because after they read the book, they contacted me, they set up an appointment. I did a consultation with them, and 1 out of 10 of them turned into a customer when I was doing consulting. And that was great. So that is a huge benefit for my business to build those leads.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And, you know, even just simple things now, you know, you don't even have to give away your time per se, but give away a companion course. You know, it's an easy email opt-in, and then you've got them on that email and you can go ahead and start marketing to them until they decide to remove themselves from the list as well. So let's dive into marketing. Now, I'm sure that you could talk until the cows come home. I mean, you're the founder of AuthorMarketingClub.com. I know you've got this subject covered down pat, but I mean, let's talk over a genuine first-time author marketing plan. What should we be covering? What is a waste of our time? What we should we be avoiding, et cetera, et cetera? And try and get as in-depth as you possibly can.
Well, let's start at the beginning, right? Great cover, great topic of the book, great title, good editing, right? Got all that stuff done. You've got the book uploaded to Amazon, okay? Now, the first thing that everybody needs to do is focus on getting reviews. And reviews are so important. And I always ask people this question. When was the last time you bought a book or a dishwasher or anything else on Amazon without at least checking to see if they had good reviews? And you know what happened. It's social proof, right?
Sure.
People want to see that other people have validated that this book is something I should spend my time on. You know, this is one of the 6 laws of Dr. Cialdini, right? You know, the social proof is such a huge thing. So getting a decent amount of reviews, 10 to 15 reviews on your book before you start the marketing is extremely, extremely important. Because that is the determining factor in whether or not people are going to take the chance in purchasing your book. Okay. Mm-hmm. How you get those reviews, you could talk about a million different ways. I personally feel the best way to get reviews in your books is to contact other people who have reviewed similar books. So let's say I wrote a book on Bigfoot and I go out and find other people who have already written good reviews on Bigfoot books, and I can approach them and say, hey, look, You've written reviews on Bigfoot books before. I've also got a Bigfoot book. Would you like to review? Would you like to look at mine?
Love that.
And yeah, and that's, I have a tool at Author Marketing Club that helps people find those reviewers. So that's the most important thing, is getting those reviews. Then it's a matter of, you know, determining whether or not you're going to do a book launch or not. And some people will say, well, a book launch is a lot of work, but it absolutely can be worth it, because setting a date, focusing all your time and effort over a 3-month period or a 3-week period to promote your book launch, it really can work. And it can create a very big spike and a lot of attention for your book moving forward. And there's a million steps involved in doing a book launch.
What are 2 or 3 steps within that launch process that you think that just cannot be skipped over?
Setting a date, a hard deadline date, right?
Sure.
Creating enough awareness and content around the book that's coming up, building the hype for it. I always like to tell people, you know, look at Hollywood movies, right? They, what do? They create trailers and they get you excited for a movie coming up. And you need, and I'm not telling you to make a book video trailer, but because those really don't work. But what I am telling you is that you need to build hype around a book that's coming out. You know, when I write a book now, I will go on Facebook the day I have the idea for the book, and I'll say, "Hey, I think I'm thinking about writing my next book on this topic.
Right.
What do you think?" Then I'll come on next week and I'll go, "Okay, here are some titles I'm thinking," and I'll get suggestions. So the whole time that I'm even starting thinking about writing the book, I'm creating a launch in the customers and associates' heads and saying, "Look, Jim's thinking about putting this together." So when launch day comes, they go, "Oh, this is done. You were ready." Now, building your email list is one of the biggest things you can do ahead of time, is getting people on your email list so that when the book is ready, you can tell them about it. Obviously, building your email list is one of the biggest things you can do ever for any type of internet business, especially writing books. So those are really important. And then, of course, doing the big launch, you know, having the launch on the day you want to do it, getting as many guest blogs as you can in other people's blogs and getting as many people to share it for you. A contest using an app like King Sumo is a great way to do a book launch, where people say, "Look, I downloaded a free copy of Jim's book and I entered this contest," or whatever. And you get a lot of social sharing for things like that. So the launch can really do well for you. Now, again, the launch can really do this big spike for you. However, the long-term sustainability of selling a book goes way beyond a launch, where you get that big spike, but then things level off, and then it becomes a series of other things that you need to do consistently to drive sales.
So let's talk about those things then. I mean, I have personally experienced that big launch with Virtual Freedom. We did. I mean, it blew me away. I mean, honestly, how many we sold? I think we sold something along the lines of around, I'm going to say about 5,000 books in the space of about 3 weeks. But we had also pre-sold a couple of 2,000 or 3,000 as well. So we did brilliantly. But like you very clearly pointed out, you know, I already had the email list in place. I had the community in place, et cetera, et cetera. Not a lot of people have got that. But now I feel like it's even easier with things like Periscope and Blab and everything, where you can get, you know, online and live, instantly attract an audience and start talking about your book or whatever. I mean, the launch, as you say, it's just the beginning of the journey, right? It's, we got to look at this more as a, I guess, probably from a marathon perspective rather than a sprint, I think is a nice analogy. So what are some of the things that, you know, are just 100% must be on our plan for that long-term growth of our book?
Well, you nailed it. I mean, the content marketing is a huge part of that. You know, Joe Paluzzi, who owns the Content Marketing Institute.
Yep.
You know, he'll tell you all this till the cows come home. His entire business model is based upon this, creating content that in multiple forms that goes out there and solves people's problems or entertains them and gets them interested in what you have to offer. Videos, blog posts, white papers. I mean, this is nothing new. This has been going on forever. It just now has the term content marketing attached to it. And it works.
Right.
It works extremely well. So you need to be really good at creating content in order to attract those customers. But here's another thing that really works well for a lot of people, which is the having the free content, as for example, an extra chapter of your book, or frankly, a whole nother book that you give away for free.
I love that.
So you can create free books that you can give away. Now, for an example, might be you launch your book, and in the front and back of your book, you have a lead magnet that says, "Hey, I'd love to give you the free 30 top tips to do this, or this extra chapter, or heck, another book. All I need you to do is come over and sign up on my email list and I'll give you a copy of that book." So you're building an email list that you can mail to for future books. Mm-hmm. You're potentially getting leads. You're getting a customer. And one of the biggest things, you know, Amazon is the greatest thing for authors because it allows you the opportunity to have your book put in front of so many people. The problem with Amazon is that, and I argue this in my book, Go Direct, is that Amazon is not in the business of sharing their customer data with you. So when you buy my book, they don't tell me that you bought my book, and I have no possible way of talking to you in the future. So they're a third party. Yeah. So it's good and it's bad. So I argue in my book, Go Direct, you know, is it better to sell that book yourself, you get to keep more money of it. You don't have to pay as much of a cut. Mm-hmm. You can also build your email list at the same time and build a customer base. One of the best examples I can give you of this is when J.K. Rowling decided that she was going to release all of the ebooks for her Harry Potter books. Now, she's never sold ebooks before this happened. And she said, well, you know what? If you want to buy ebook copies of all the Harry Potter books, you have to come to Pottermore.com, register, and I'll sell them to you there. Now, the reason this was so brilliant is because she's going to turn a $1 billion empire into a $3 billion empire because she's circumventing the Amazon people and the other e-retailers and saying, look, come register with me. Now I have your customer information. Now I have your credit card information. Now I can sell you anything else in the future I ever want. And that's a real value is when you have customer information.
She had the foresight to make sure that she retained the rights to those ebook versions to be able to do just that. So damn smart. So smart. But I mean, a lot of first-time authors, they make the mistake of, and I made the mistake myself actually, and I've kicked myself a few times about it, specifically about the audiobook rights for Virtual Freedom. I wish I had retained them and I did not. And as a podcaster, it was bloody silly. I should have done it and I would have sold a hell of a lot more copies of my book if I did.
As a traditional publishers are, you know, they're in business to make money.
Of course they are. Yeah.
Unless you're a big time author who can demand things like I want my ebook rights and my audiobook rights, you're not getting that, right? A first time author is not getting that contract from a traditional publisher. They're going to say, get out of here. Right. But I would absolutely agree with you in terms of wanting to keep your rights for certain things for the ebooks. You know, I always tell people this. Traditional publishers are not in the business of content. You know what they're in the business of? They're in the business of paper. They make money from selling paper. They make their highest margins when they put a book at 85,000 words and it's a nice thick book and they can put it on a bookshelf in Barnes & Noble and sell it for $18.95. That's their business model. And their business model is failing because not as many bookstores exist and you know, all those reasons we talked about. If you notice that traditional publishers try to employ the agency model for book pricing, which is the print book is $18.99 and then they price the ebook at $12.99 instead of where it should be, which is around $2.99 or $3.99. And in the attempt to not make the ebook more valuable, because guess what? They don't make as much money when you buy a digital copy of the book.
Right, exactly.
It's simple as that. It's as simple as that. So there's a reason for self-publishing is, you know, to have the more control. And the traditional publishers are in the business of making money from paper. And it's as simple as that.
I love it. Okay, great. So we've got so let's recap. We've got a good book cover. We've got a nice title. We're putting a book together. It's out there. It's an ebook format. Maybe we'll go and create space and doing a paperback version via Amazon as well. You know, we're getting it out to our mailing list. Maybe we're mentioning it on our social. We're building up buzz. Maybe we've done a big fat launch and now we're in kind of maintenance marketing mode, as I call it, the triple M effect. What else can we do to continue to keep the sales coming in? Maybe not at massive volumes, but what else can we do to keep the sales coming in and trickling and the leads coming in with it?
Well, for a nonfiction book, the best thing that you can do is continue to create content. And maybe a new appendix to the book. You know, one of the things I think Jay Baer has done so smartly is with his book Utility is he created another version of the book for a different target audience.
So good.
I forget who
Absolutely.
It was. Was it HR people or accounting?
I'm going to say it was accountants.
He made Utility for accountants, and it's basically the same content, but put in specific things related to accountants. I think that was brilliant, and I think more authors who write general nonfiction books need to do that same thing as well. In my other example, the person who wrote the book Social Media for Real Estate Agents, well, why couldn't they write Social Media for Accountants? You know, so I think that's probably the best thing. So that leads into what I was trying to say is the best thing you can do to market your books is to write more books.
Right.
In the fiction world, that's really, really true. Writing more books, having a back catalog of books makes a lot of sense because somebody reads your book and they're like, wow, that was really good. What else you got? In the nonfiction world, it's not as applicable. However, it still works. So writing more books, but also creating the more of the content that we talked about in whatever form that your audience is more susceptible to, building that email list so that you can communicate with those people over and over again. Those are the most important things you could do. Now, I will warn people this. There is no magic bullet to having success with your book. There is no push button system. There is no, you know, work at home in your underwear, sell 10,000 books system, right? You're going to come across those things. You're going to come across the Kindle get rich quick people, and you're going to see that they're going to say, oh, if you buy my system, I'll teach you how to sell 10,000 cookbooks overnight in your sleep. It doesn't work. There is no quick, fast success to a book. There's more opportunity than ever to write a book and have success with it. There is no push button system to do it. Yes, some people, just like in life, will get extremely lucky and write a book and it'll turn into the most amazing thing. But the truth is that most of the time your book success and your success will be based upon how much work you put into it. It's such a bummer to tell people that, but it's true.
Well, you know, and I think, a healthy slice of reality is sometimes required, particularly for, you know, the youpreneur mindset individual who are ultimately building a business out of their brand. They're coaches, they're consultants, they're bloggers, podcasters, experts, authors, speakers, you know, those kind of people. I think they need to have that slice of reality. So I don't persecute you for giving it to them, Jim.
Well, I will tell you that if you're listening to this and you haven't written a book yet, I will tell you that it is the number one thing that will change your speaking or changing your business if you do it. I absolutely am still 1,000% believe that it will change. All the time you spend doing social media and writing blog posts and all this stuff, that's all fine and good. Having a book will be the differentiator in moving your brand and your career to the next level. And that is still true today. So you need to find time to do it. If you're concerned that you can't write a book, think about it this way. Can you write 40 blog posts? Well, guess what? Plot out the blog posts and guess what? Put them all together and there's your book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a way to do it. It does not have to be, you know, for years. Since Gutenberg invented the printing press, publishers of the world controlled the process of publishing by saying, oh, there's no possible way that you could ever produce a book. We are the experts. We're the only ones in the world who can edit, and we only know what people want to read. That's all BS. The readers decide what they want. It's very possible to do it now. There's no special magic formula for putting words onto paper. Open up a Word document, start writing, get it edited, and put it out there. There's nothing stopping you from doing it except you and your belief that it's not going to be worth your time. And I'm here to tell you right now that if you do it, it will be the most amazing thing that ever happened to your career.
I agree 120%. I think it's a major, major factor to the overall brand building element. And I thank you very much for sharing your expertise today, man. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much. And go out there and write that book, people.
There you go. Jim Cookroll, everybody. I want you to head over to authormarketingclub.com. Check out a little bit more of what Jim has got cooking over there. And I'll be back at you again next week with another interview. Until then, you can also head over for show notes. We're going to link to Jim's main site, all his social media platforms. You can bug him on there as well. He's a very kind guy. He'll get back to you at chrisducker.com/episode155. Okay, episode 155. Show notes over there. Jim, once again, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, you guys, we'll be back at you again next week with another episode of Youpreneur FM. Thank you so much. Until then, take good care, be kind to each other, and go write that book. See you soon.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of
today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you
on the inside.